Guests of downtown come your way via the G&M Family Market phone line. G&M Family Market on the corner of Route 1A, Route 46 in Holden, open 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. 7 days a week. As we go right to that G&M Family Market phone line right now to talk to one of our favorites, it's Dave D'Onofrio, the New Hampshire Union leader, to talk a little New England Patriots, Boston Red Sox, and whatever else is on his mind this afternoon. Dave, welcome back to downtown.
Thank you for having me, as always.
Well, let's talk about Deflategate, because I noticed you didn't want to talk about Pablo Sandoval anymore on your Twitter feed, I noticed. Let's talk about Tom Brady before we do get into things. We'll stray away from Deflategate, though we do have an appeal coming up in that. Is this contract extension a good thing for the New England Patriots should Tom Brady reach the final year of that contract?
Yeah, I think it is. And what sort of tells that to me is it was initiated by the team. If the team was in a position where it had doubts about Brady moving forward or his contract situation, I think they probably would have let these last 2 years play out with fairly minimal cap damage when you compare what he's making and what he's costing them to other quarterbacks across the league. I think I saw today Sam Bradford got a $36 million deal with $26 million guaranteed. So we can certainly look at that and appreciate how much of a bargain Brady is. And I think what this tells me is they plan on him being here 4 more years. And I think the last 2 years, his performance and his ability at age 37 and 38 proved to them that, he's worth investing in moving forward. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if Jimmy Garoppolo is traded and they sort of reset the clock on finding their next quarterback. Because I think that, assuming Brady wins the appeal here starting Thursday, is the plan that makes the best sense. Brady is their quarterback for 4 years. That's what this deal tells me, first and foremost.
If they were to move Jimmy Garoppolo, what sort of return do you think they could get for him, and where do you think he might end up? Where would be the best fit for him?
I look at Houston, honestly, and I know that every quarterback that comes up as available is sort of linked to them because of the situation they're in. They obviously have a good defense. They obviously had a good second half of the season. And then you look at that playoff performance, Brian Hoyer really just gave it away. I think a team like that makes sense. A team like the Jets would honestly make some sense, but that isn't going to happen on a trade basis, at least. There's enough spots that I think he'd have value, and if you look at this draft, it's essentially two guys that are expected to go in the first round, and one of them doesn't have a whole lot of experience at a high level of play. So I think there may be value here if they can strike before the draft. Again, that appeal, though, might complicate things if the decision on that takes a while to come down and they're not sure 100% of what Brady's status might be for the first 4 games. Maybe they delay that decision until after the draft. If it was up to me, I would be exploring all possibilities right now, trying to get back in there for maybe the second round.
Well, speaking of the draft and the appeal coming up, do you see any likely scenario which the New England Patriots receive or get returned back that first-round draft pick that they were that was taken away from them last year?
I don't. I think that if that was going to happen, the signs would have, I think, been visible by now. The fact that NFL is moving forward with its appeal, in essence, tells me that they don't want to lose. They really want to protect the power they have for the commissioner, and part of that, to me, is upholding every power he has at this point, and among them is to take draft picks away from teams and to punish teams for whatever the reason, lack of cooperation, supposed rules violations, all that sort of stuff. They're on this kick now, not necessarily a kick, but they're on a mission to protect the commissioner's power, to flex their muscles, and I think if they were to give back draft picks, not only would it be an admission of guilt, but it would be, a really public sign that they overstepped their bounds, that there was maybe nothing here, maybe that they came to the wrong conclusion, all that stuff. It would be a bad look. That said, I think the Crafts are in a position where they need to at least publicly ask for it. They need to come out strong. They need to build on that statement they made at the start of training camp that accepting the penalty that quickly was a mistake. They need to make that statement for their fans, I think, because at this point, there aren't a lot of people in New England who think the Patriots did something wrong. And they need to show that, they're willing at least to make a stand even if it's just grandstanding, to get, you know, get what's right to commit to come home or to get their picks back.
Let's jump over to talk some Red Sox now, since the spring training schedule kicked off yesterday, albeit against college competition. When you look at the Red Sox, Dave, it doesn't seem like there are a lot of jobs that are available out there to be lost, but who is most likely to put themselves in a position to lose at bats having a tough spring?
That's a good question, because as much as I think you're right that there's not a lot of jobs available, I would also argue that there's not a lot of certainty. And guys that have jobs or are presumed to have jobs at this point aren't necessarily sure things. I think there's very few sure things. You don't know what you're going to get from first base or third base with Ramirez and Sandoval. To a certain extent, you don't know what you're going to get from Pedroia because of injuries. Bogarts, we all think he's on the verge of, you know, a real breakout season, but we've seen guys, even really good players, after a strong first full season, come back and struggle once the league adjusts to them. Then you look in the outfield, and that's really where I think, if there is an answer to your question about a guy who could lose his spot, it starts for me in left field, and that's Rusnak Castillo. I, aside from 1 month of last season, have not been impressed by what I've seen from him. I think the plan with Chris Young coming in here as the fourth outfielder, to me that says Castillo could be under scrutiny. Two right-handed hitters, they've already said Young's going to play against left-handed pitching. Castillo does not hit right-handed pitching very well. He's a guy I could see, you know, having some uncertainty surrounding him. I think Jackie Bradley's another guy. If he doesn't hit initially, in John Farrell's mind, I wonder what, if anything, has changed. We've seen Farrell kind of give up on him a couple times over the last few years. Lucky Brett, I think, is as sure a thing as there is, although same as what I said with Bogarts there, as far as the league adjusting to him and needing to sort of reprove himself in year two. And then behind the plate, you know, who knows what's going to happen. Blake Swihart's an unproven defensive guy. Ryan Hannigan's nothing more than a defensive catcher for me at this point. So I think you have all those questions. You have questions beyond David Price in the rotation. You have questions about how the bullpen's going to stack up leading to Kimbrel. Even Carson Smith's a good addition, but pitching in Seattle in lesser pressure situations isn't pitching in the eighth inning of Boston. So I agree that if you were to look at the roster, it's pretty well set. That said, it wouldn't surprise me if come, you know, Memorial Day, we're looking at this team and seeing a lot of holes that need to be plugged.
Interesting, you mentioned Castillo, too, with the signing of Murphy yesterday as well. More competition in the outfield, as we're talking to Dave D'Onofrio of the New Hampshire Union Leader.
Dave, do you think, well, you brought up John Farrell. Do you think a slow start puts him on the hot seat?
Absolutely. I think he's already feeling it. You just look at the way they responded to Torrey Lovello and the fact the team gave Lovello an extension and a reason to stay here. I'm sure that beyond the actual contract itself and beyond the money, there were talks, I'm sure of it, that Lovello maybe didn't get a guarantee that he was next in line, but he's clearly here to be in that position if the Red Sox falter out of the gate. And we've seen this team sort of bury itself early in the seasons where it has finished in last place. Each of them, it's really been a slow start or a very mediocre start that kind of just never got better. And I think part of the reason the things are structured the way they are now is they want to be able to quickly make a change if a change is needed. And I think that will be dictated by the first couple months. We'll know very soon whether John Farrell is going to finish the season, I think.
And Dave, we've talked a lot about, and a lot of the media members are making a big deal about, the conditioning of Pablo Sandoval. And I don't want to talk about that specifically, but what are the reasonable expectations that fans can have for Pablo Sandoval in 2016? Where should we see him? What kind of stat line do you think we should envision him realistically in the season?
Realistically, I think probably looking at somewhere 270, 14 homers, 70 RBIs, an OPS in the low 700s. I would like to say you can get more from him than that, and that stat line doesn't justify his salary. But I think if you just look at the fact his numbers have declined five straight years now, you look at the fact that he did not play well last year, did not show much power, did not slug, I think he's just a limited player at this point. And I don't honestly think it has very much to do with his weight. I think that's an overblown story. It's almost a crutch and an excuse at this point for his diminished play. To me, he's just not the player he was, and I'm not convinced that he's going to give you much more than, you know, Brock Holt would at that same position. I think if you're a Red Sox fan, though, I do believe you should give him the benefit of the doubt, because I don't believe the weight is an issue. Let's see what he can do. I'm just not sure that what he can do is going to be all that impressive.
Great insight, as always, from Dave D'Onofrio of the New Hampshire Union Leader on Tom Brady and the Boston Red Sox as well. Dave, thanks very much for the time this afternoon, and we'll check in with you as we progress down the season a little bit further.
I look forward to that. Thanks, guys.
Dave D'Onofrio, New Hampshire Union Leader, talking about all things Boston sports there, particularly Tom Brady, says it's a good thing, and I agree with him, too. The contract, if he's still playing with this team, will mean he's still playing at a high level. And again, Pablo Sandoval is what he is. He's not a guy who's going to hit you 30 home runs, but as long as he can play up to those expectations that Dave laid out, I think you have to be pulling for the guy, because he's a useful part, at least, to this team at third base.
I think he is a useful part, and one thing that one name